I'd like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. If you are blessed by this radio ministry and would like to help support it, your gift would be greatly appreciated. Gifts may be sent to Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. Our choir this morning will be singing, "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love."
For this message, that they will know that we are filled with the Holy Spirit by the love. Our radio this morning is sponsored by Sharon Walter in honor of Charles's birthday. Our scripture this morning is from John 15, 26 through 27 and 16, 4 through 15. When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. I have told you this, so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I will not tell you this at first, because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I will tell you the truth. It is your good that I'm going. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit, truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Our sermon this morning is Chosen by Pastor Angel Abishar.
I can remember when I was in elementary school and being so relieved and so grateful because the teacher chose me as one of the team captains for dodgeball, which meant I got to pick other people and I wouldn't be the last one standing there. It's a terrible thing not to be chosen. It's humiliating. And it is a wondrous thing to be chosen, to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that someone has chosen you, that you matter. And that, beloved, is what our good and gracious God has done for each and every one of us here today. He has chosen us. He has lured us by His Holy Spirit to become one with Him. We are chosen and dearly loved. And we are given so many things in the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is my absolute favorite holiday. It is the birth of the church. It is miracle upon miracle on a large scale. How I would have loved to have been there and seen all their faces when all of a sudden everybody was hearing in their own language. They were hearing what was being said by Peter in their own language. How incredible is that? And the presence of the Holy Spirit fell upon all gathered there. Fell upon them in a way so deep that they all became Christ followers that day. I don't know about you, but I can literally feel the presence of the Spirit in a congregation, and I have felt it here. I feel it by the joy in people. And joy, we know, is not just happiness, gladness, smiles. It is a deep, abiding trust in our Lord. I can tell by tears when songs are sung or a message is given. Frequently, the Holy Spirit will make me cry. I'll never forget when God first landed upon me. I'm walking out of Indiana Wesleyan. I'm listening to a song. I'm trying to get in my car because I'm taking this class on my lunch break. And I physically cannot get in my vehicle because he dropped me to my knees at a tree. And I began to cry. I cried for 3 days straight. I cried while working, all 8 hours while working, inspecting people's robot covers. I'm crying. I cried while I was cooking. I walked into my friend's house on the third day, and she looked at me and she said, "Angel, you're crying. You don't cry." And I said, "I know. Isn't it great? The power of the Holy Spirit." For me, that oneness, that abiding joy, no matter what is happening in my life, is the most precious thing in all of the world. We were all chosen individually. In the Methodist denomination, we believe in prevenient grace. We believe in justifying grace, and we believe in sanctification. The prevenient grace is the power of the Holy Spirit luring us to Him no matter what is happening in our lives. I remember walking around listening to songs and saying, I don't know what that means, but I want it. That is the power of the Spirit pulling us to Him. And now, having been in ministry and listening to so many people, my experience isn't so unusual. He reaches out and grabs people. I'd be walking around, and Scripture would come to mind. And I'd look at somebody and say, Ezekiel, is that a book in the Bible? I didn't have a clue. But the Spirit knew who I would be and what I needed at every moment in time. And He knows what each and every one of us needs. Have you ever noticed that someone filled with the Holy Spirit has a different countenance? They even look younger to me. They are vibrant. Yes, we all have bad days, but we can see the power of the Spirit working in someone's life. There was a gentleman, Dave Dravecki, the former Giants pitcher, tells of having a speaker engagement at church one evening. He didn't really feel like going. You see, he was still grieving the loss of his arm to cancer. He was still grieving that he could no longer be who he had always identified himself with. And he did not feel worthy of people looking up to him. And at that particular moment, he just didn't feel like peopling. I understand that. We all have those times. He did not want to go in there and be Christ's witness, feeling heavy and down. But yet, his belief still told him that no matter what had happened in his life, the most precious gift he had ever received was the gift of the Spirit, the gift of Jesus Christ, standing with him through cancer and through everything else. So he stood up there and he spoke to people. His authenticity, his willingness to speak of his journey, how difficult it had been, and how Jesus Christ led him through, brought people to the altar. One was a man who wept desperately and said, please help me. He admitted that he was involved with another woman and that he had wrecked his marriage and his home, and he wanted restoration. And he was terrified that he wouldn't be able to leave the other woman alone, but he wanted to be made whole and happy and healthy. Another was a young woman who desperately wanted a baby. And like Hannah in the Bible, had cried out to the Lord and had become pregnant. And she came forward just to share her joy with others. One of the main ways that I can tell that someone is filled with the Holy Spirit is by the fruits of the Spirit. We are called to bear witness. We are called to be Christ followers, to be like Christ. In Antioch, they named us Christ followers because what they saw was people who were displaying the characteristics that Christ Himself had displayed. Humility, gentleness, peace, love, long-suffering. Galatians 5:23. We are called to bear fruit. We are called to live with the fruits of the Spirit. Love. A love that can transform us and others. a love that is unconditional, a love that we can only have if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, a love so deep that we can honestly and truly pray for our enemies, a love that holds us up during the worst times in our life. A love that tells us that no matter what we have done, we are worthy of Christ Jesus. That He has called us to Him. And that He has unique plans for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us have different spiritual gifts. Each and every one of us have amazing natural talents. Each and every one of us is a wonder unto our own. And the more I get to know the people in my congregation, the more I fall in love with who each of you are. Carolyn, your message was absolutely beautiful. And you're right. It doesn't matter if we've planned. It doesn't matter what we do. What matters is that Jesus loves us. And that love changes us. I went from being hard and cold and only loving my children, or maybe a few people real close to me, to being so filled with the Spirit that I cry easily now. I cry at songs. If I'm not the one officiating communion, I always cry at communion because I know what it means. A kind of love that literally reaches down and picks people out of the pit of despair. And we being filled with that love, can do that for others. The kind of love that can take that man standing before Dave Dervecki and change him into a faithful Christian husband. Now that beloved, that is powerful love. Joy. Joy can arise from accomplishing something meaningful. Something more satisfying can come into our lives than a day on the beach by having worked through something. Joy is the presence of the Spirit. Joy isn't all smiles and giggles. Joy is knowing that no matter what is happening, you can get up and face this day because the power of the Spirit lives in you. And you have answer. We are called to have answer for the joy that we have in our lives. You have answer to other people why you can have that joy. I read a devotion once that said people are absolutely flabbergasted at a man who has gone through one disaster after another. How can he still be standing? How can he still have such strong beliefs? How can he still have joy? Well, beloved, he was depositing into a spiritual bank. All the while, he was praying. He was reading his Bible. He was attending church. He was fellowshipping with others. And when the time came where the bottom fell out of his life and one disaster after another crashed over him, he had that spiritual reservoir to draw from. Peace. Oh, peace creates an atmosphere where absolutely anything can thrive. And to be at peace in this hectic, chaotic, sinful, terrorized world is something that we have to work hard on in order for us to have a deep, abiding peace. Past traffic jams, past what's on the nightly news, we must have faith. And the Bible tells us that without faith, we are not pleasing to God. We have to have faith that no matter what comes in this world today, that we belong to Christ Jesus, that we will be taken care of, that we will be caught up into the heavens with Him when He returns again. Peace is not something that you can snap your fingers at. Peace comes from a belief deeply rooted in you, from a hope, and from the presence of the Holy Spirit. When I see peace in people that are walking through things like cancer and terminal illness and daily pain, when I see this peace in people, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Patience. I'm not so good at this one. Those of you who know me fairly well, yeah, I see some smiles back there, know that that probably is not my top suit. But the Holy Spirit does give me the patience to make it through difficult and trying things. For those of you who don't know, I have probably not been able to get into my office more times than I have lately. There's a problem with the key in the door, and it just is light. But I've been told, I had my friend Jeff come up here, and he says, oh, you just have to be patient with it. And he opens it. I'm like, and Troy, I tell him, I swear, you stick that key in there and it pops open, I'm going to pop you. Not very pastoral, I know, but he tries and has a hard time with it. Dora, our custodian, she's been teaching me Spanish lately, and she told me, breathe, pastora, breathe, pastora, you have to be patient. So she puts her key in and she tries for about 15, 20 minutes, doesn't work. So then she goes over to the office when it didn't work either. And she's all, and she looks, and I said, breathe, Dora. I'm not so good at that kind of patience. I am good at the patience that requires me as a pastor to walk alongside of people having difficulties, to walk alongside of people who want to make changes in their life. And I'm not saying that I'm the shining example, but I am saying that through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in me and me hitting my knees, before I meet with someone who is suffering, with someone who is in need of counsel, with someone who is just having a difficult time, the Holy Spirit rises up in me and speaks to them. I can remember when I was a chaplain at Fort Wayne, there was a woman who had come in there. Her son had been crushed by a truck in between a garage door and a truck. They let him talk to her on the phone because they knew what would happen once they removed the truck, that his insides would then struggle. She had lost two sons in 3 years, one in the service and one in a drive-by shooting. And she looked at me and she said, Pastor, God wouldn't do that, would He? God wouldn't take my only child left. God would not take my baby. Pastor, He would not do that, would He? No one has answer to something like that. I looked at her and I said, what I know beyond a shadow of a doubt is that if you cling to Him, He will get you through this. And I held her. And we waited 3 or 4 hours. And finally, she had gone to get something to drink, and she was standing in the middle of the hall, and the doctor came and tried to usher her back into the room before he told her something. She wouldn't go. She was tired of waiting. She made him tell her right there. And we had talked about various things over the several hours. I had talked about losing a son to her. We had talked about various things. And when she learned that her last child had gone to be with the Lord, she grabbed a hold of the suit that I was wearing and clung her way all the way down and fell upon the floor in a heap, sobbing, as any of us would do. And I got down on the floor, and I looked her in the face, and I held her. I prayed that entire time, the 3 to 4 hours that I was with her, and the next couple hours afterwards, please, Holy Spirit, give me words. Tell me how to help this woman, because I deeply believe that He will give us words when we are in situations like that. And even more importantly, sometimes it's best not to say anything at all. I got down in the middle of the floor there and I held her. She left a couple hours later, still filled with grief, still in shock. But she looked at me and she said, "You know, Chaplain, you're right. Jesus loves me. And Jesus will help me get through this." That, beloved, is the presence of the Holy Spirit. Kindness. Kindness is not just opening the door for someone. It's not just allowing somebody in traffic. It's not just allowing someone ahead of you in line at the grocery store, although all of these practices will give you both patience and kindness. Every time that you do something for another living human being and you put them ahead of you, even if it's just to go in line at the grocery store or allow them ahead of you in traffic when it's busy, every single time you do that, it is like a deposit into that spiritual bank. Real kindness is when someone has injured you in some way and you can still be present for them. I remember a young lady in a church. We were having a festival. Two churches had come together. We had a big thing. She had worked hard on all the children's games, and I do mean really, really hard. And she'd made this photo op thing. It was about from here to here, and it had the peanuts, faces. And then there was a cutout where you could put your face in it. And she had worked so hard on all of this that when no children showed up and the ones that did didn't get over that direction very easily, she became angry. And she blew up at me, screaming and yelling. Her father was a counselor and stood there like, I totally understood where she was coming from. I knew that her anger was not really directed at me. She had worked extremely hard on this project, and it didn't turn out the way she wanted. So I stood and listened to her, and I told her I agreed. She was right about what she was saying. And I'll tell you that my relationship with that young lady after that grew in leaps and bounds. Kindness is accepting people for exactly who they are and being present with them. It's more than the golden rule. It's more than treating people the way that you want to be treated. It is manifesting the love of the Holy Spirit and pouring it on to them. Very difficult to do in a lot of cases. But when we do, we reap rewards more precious than silver and gold. Generosity. And I'm not talking about just throwing money at the situation. I'm talking about being open to people, being present for them, giving of your time, giving of your spiritual gifts. Being generous is so much more than sharing the money that the Lord God has allowed you to earn or to receive. And faithfulness. Faithfulness is sticking with a task until completion. Faithfulness is trusting and believing in God that this church will grow both spiritually and in numbers, even when we don't see it. We did so great Palm Sunday and Easter and then Mother's Day, I was so discouraged. And I had to go before my Lord and say, please help me to be what this church needs. Help me to give them a message of hope. Help me to be present in each and every one of their lives. That's faithfulness. And that does not come from us as human beings. That comes from the Holy Spirit. Our Lord God was gentle. You know, in the Beatitudes, everybody looks at that word meekness as if it is weakness. In this society, people think to be meek, to be humble, to be gentle is a weakness. And it could not be further from the truth. It is easy to pop off and get angry. It is easy to shut down. It is easy not to show any kind of emotion. It is easy to be angry, to hurt other people. It is not so easy to be humble, to be gentle, and to be meek. Meekness is like harnessing 40 horses together instead of one. That is an incredible amount of power. Meekness is harnessed power. So is gentleness, beloved. For us to be gentle with one another, to allow the other person's struggle to deeply touch and wound our own heart so that we can be fully present for them. That is gentleness. To turn away an angry answer with kindness. That is gentleness. And all of the above describes self-control. Self-control is required to fight against temptation. Self-control is required not to have hoof and mouth disease, and I'm still working on it. When you open your mouth and stick your foot right in it, and you realize what you have done, and you have to apologize to someone. I counseled with some people this week, and one of the people shared with me, and nobody knows who they are, they're not from this church. One of them shared with me that they struggled. When they felt anxious, they lied. And I said, from now on, right after you have, turn around and tell the person you just did. That's self-control. When we can admit our faults, because we know who we are in Christ, and it doesn't matter what the other one thinks, we want to become more like Jesus himself. When we can admit to someone else, I just lied to you. I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. I'm sorry I've done this with no buts. Self-control keeps us from running straight into temptation, but it also keeps us connected to the body of Christ. And I've run a little over, so Mark, if you would play our song that our wonderful choir